Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I have a new book out called Unlimited Possibilities. It's an e-book that I created, and also it is a book that I'm promoting so that the proceeds can be given to the Soul of a Woman Foundation, which I'm very passionate about. It caters to domestic violence, and this is Domestic Violence Week and Month. Every day is domestic violence. I have my co-host Shirley Carter on the line. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. I am an entrepreneur myself and a motivational speaker. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Shirley. Tonight we're going to talk about domestic violence. You know, domestic violence still, as I say, every show is the worst-kept secret in America. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to admit that it's an epidemic that is larger than what it is. Every day when we turn on the news or read in the newspaper, we see new cases. It went from spousal abuse to now child abuse, and it's escalated where whole families are being taken out because of domestic violence. I remember back in the day, about 10, 15 years ago, I read a book that was written by the young lady named Marilyn Joyce, and the book was If He Doesn't Deliver When Women Have Nowhere to Turn. And Shirley, that was the first book that I ever read on domestic violence where someone talked about it candidly. She, like myself, was married to a pastor, and she talked about the abuse and the things that she described. I was going through the exact same thing, and she was very influential to me that allowed me and gave me the courage that to move on, and that there was life after divorce. And, you know, after I got out of my marriage, which was 19 years, 17 of those were abusive, and those 2 years while we were waiting for the divorce, it was very traumatic. It was very painful because anybody that's gone through divorce, it is a breaking. It's like a funeral, a burial. Only difference is you see that person walking around every day, or you still have access to them, unlike when someone passes away. Once you bury them, you don't see them anymore. But it was a very painful experience, and it took me 7 years after divorce to write From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. And I talk about how I was brought up where there was no abuse in my home. So when my husband hit me, for the first time, 30 days into the marriage, I never experienced anything like that. And from that point on, that's when fear entered my heart and entered the marriage, and it was no longer a holy union, but a terrifying, fearful union. And from that time to now, it has escalated into almost every home in America, and it's not just a black thing. It has transcended, you know, beyond racial. It's black, white, Asian, Puerto Rican, Hispanic, you name it, whatever a human being is walking on the planet, if they have not been a victim or been affected by domestic violence, they know someone who has. And domestic violence, to clear it up for those that don't have an understanding, because, you know, I lived in domestic violence for 17 years and didn't realize until after my divorce, after 19 years, that there was a word for what I went through. Domestic violence is the willful intimidation, physical assault, battery, sexual assault, and or other abusive behavior perpetrated by an intimate partner against another. It is an epidemic affecting individuals in every community, regardless of the age, economic status. I don't care how much money you have, whether you're rich or poor, domestic violence exists. It goes beyond race, religion, whatever religion. You know, there was a time, Shirley, that this was not heard of in the church. The church was supposed to be a safe haven. But over the last mm-hmm. few years, individuals have actually went in the church and shot up the sanctuary. It's no longer a holy place, a place of peace.
No.
It's an emotional.
No, all the peace has been taken out of it.
Right.
That's what domestic violence does. It rips you of the peace that you have within. If you find peace and solace inside the church, it is moved there. Anywhere to disturb your peace.
Absolutely.
Your physical peace, your emotional peace, anywhere it can penetrate, that's where it's gone. That's why we're seeing it in the churches. But everyone is keeping silent about it. Why the silence? Why no one wants to talk about it? Why no one wants to admit it or deal with it? When one in every four women will experience domestic violence in their lifetime, there's an estimated 1.3 million women that are a victim of physical assault and by their intimate partner each year. Not over 5 or 10 years. Every year, there is at least 1.3. And 85% of the cases are women. Don't forget, we got men, too. And another 15% are by men. It's probably higher, but men do not report it. And there are women that don't report it as well. So by the statistics of the one that do speak out about it, one in every four, 1.3 million. Think about how many that do not report it.
Absolutely. I want to give some more information on those that may be going through domestic violence and not know it. It goes beyond nationality or educational background. We have a lot of people that are educated and being abused. Violence against women is often accompanied by emotional abuse and controlling behavior. A lot of times women mistake control for love. That is not love. It is abuse. And the pattern of dominance and control, domestic violence results in physical injuries, psychological trauma, and sometimes even death. It's by the grace of God that, especially when it's a male hitting a woman or hitting a child, it's by the grace that that one blow doesn't take an individual out, because it's been reported that 81% of individuals are affected by domestic abuse, and most of them wind up in the hospital. So these are signs, and these are individuals that go through domestic violence and not even knowing, because as I said, I had no idea that I myself was being abused. I didn't know there was a word for it. And, you know, it transcends. Now, Shirley, you've had some incidents of domestic violence in your life as well.
Yes, I have. And, you know, mine was it the control of not wanting me to go anywhere, didn't want me to get an education. And see, at the time, I didn't look at it as domestic violence. I looked at it as, oh, he don't want me to leave him. He don't want me to get smarter than him. He wants us to be on the same level. It was a control situation where he wanted to control me. When he couldn't control me and I continued to work on my education, then it became physical. Then he decided that he needed to attack me. He needed to take his aggression out of me. And it was always, see what you made me do? See what you did? And then I started thinking about, okay, he's here to help me raise my younger sibling. Both of my parents were deceased, and I had like 7 younger siblings that I was trying to raise. And his whole goal was, he said, I'm going to help you raise them, help you take care of them. But if I tried to go to school, if I wanted to go visit family, then that was a problem. It became more and more of a problem. And God forbid that I started making more money than him. That became an even bigger issue. That I could even get a good night's sleep. I would wake up in the emergency room. I go to bed or I fall asleep on the couch. I wake up in an ambulance because he's woke up in the middle of the night or something and punched me in the face, knocked me unconscious, where he would even call for service. And then back in those days, they never called it domestic violence. They said it was a family matter. If it was so bad, take it to court and see a judge, get an attorney. How many people wanted to go for an attorney? Who had money for that? Even back in those days. And if many times that it happened, can you imagine what lawyer fees would be and waiting for a court date? Who knows what can happen in between that? And one of the things I found out about domestic violence is we don't leave. One of the main reasons we don't leave is because of finances. How are we going to survive if we move outside of that home? We find excuses. We make up excuses for our injuries. Or I ran into the cabinet. Or the door hit me there. Or I slipped and fell. I tripped over one of the kids' toys. Always had an excuse. Oh, he just gets angry sometimes because he's under so much stress at work. Always an excuse for them. Never looking at the fact that we are creating something. The two of us, when I say the two of us, the abuser and the one that accepted, and we got children, they're watching that. They're witness to our abuse, creating another generation of abusers. That's exactly what we do.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't we let our children be witness?
In my book, In the Soul of a Woman, when I talk about, in one of the chapters I say, shall the two become one, I mistook his abuse for love, saying that it was two of us trying to come together to make one union, and that in the Word of God it talks about how we must die. And I've often said that us dying to ourselves, but not dying where we're not fulfilling God's purpose or God's will for our life. He said the two shall be one. It doesn't mean that the woman is the one that always has to be the sacrificial lamb. It means that you together have to shave away and compromise and come together, not controversially, not brutally, not physically harmful to one another. And that emotional abuse, if they're not afflicting you physically, that emotional abuse is how my husband started out on me. He started out telling me I wasn't this, I wasn't that, I wasn't beautiful. And then when I started having kids, it was like, no man's going to want you with all these kids. And, you're just going to wind up being by yourself and this and that. And you're never going to be anything. The only reason why people know your name is because of me. It's because of me. Everything was about him. That's another sign of somebody that's abusive, because it's all about them. They don't care anything about you. It's all about them. They don't care anything about the children. They want to make sure that they eat. And the children don't get anything. They want to make sure they get new clothes. And the children are, these are different signs and different things that you have to look at when you're in a relationship and in the marriage, in the courtship. Because, you know, when a person tells you who they are, you must believe them. You must believe what they say, and you must believe what you see and what you know in your spirit and your heart of hearts about that individual. Because sometimes your girlfriend will say, child, you better look out for him. You know, he ain't too cool, and you know, check, but you so in love. My father told me, he said, after I divorced, he said, I never liked him anyway. I said, well, Daddy, why? He said, I just didn't like him. And he said, but you were so in love, regardless of what I said to you, you would have married him anyway. So I'm just here for you when you need me. You just call me, and I'll be there. And when I called my dad, he was there. I called my siblings, and they were there. But, you know, one of the things about domestic violence is when you don't know that you're in it, and then you feel isolated and you feel humiliated because who you once were, a strong, courageous male or female, is no longer that. You've buckled down and whimpered and turned into a helpless individual. You're embarrassed, so the isolation shuts you down and keeps you from talking about it. there's a lot of people in high places that don't want to talk about the abuse because of who they are. They don't want you to know they're miserable because a lot of times people never knew. I mean, I was a pastor's wife, and the church, the pastors that we affiliated with, nobody knew that I was physically being abused. Nobody knew that he was physically hurting me. I went to church with shades on, and they never questioned. I took off, and they saw the black eye. They was like, Sister Parker, what happened? And I'm like, I ran into the door, or I had an accident, and I bumped my face on the steering wheel. I lied. I lied. Because I was embarrassed and because I was afraid. A lot of people are afraid of the repercussions. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and he was like, I don't understand why people, why when they're in situations like why they just won't leave. I said, because they're afraid. And then when you call the police and they get out that next day and they come back to your house, you're terrified.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. And there are not enough resources out there. You know, just like I released this book, Shirley, Unlimited Possibilities, A Roadmap to Restoration. The purpose of that book is it's motivational and inspirational so that individuals will know that regardless of what you're going through right now, that there are endless possibilities because we serve a limitless God. And I said I'm going to do this as a PDF book and give it out as so that individuals can donate to the foundation to support domestic violence. A lot of people don't want to support domestic violence, even though it's right before them, even though they see it, they will not support it. It, you know, a lot of people didn't have any interest in cancer until a lot of people started coming down with different types of cancer. Likewise, it is with domestic violence, but it's on a whole different playing field. It's at a whole different level when it comes to domestic violence because a lot of times it's fatal.
Yes.
And people are embarrassed after the fact, and they say, I should have done something. I should have done more. And then when they become a victim, then they go away in a closet afraid because of the fact that they didn't come forth sooner and they were afraid of being found out.
Yes. And the other thing about it, Val, too, is that, you know, the silence. The silence, I think that is a big part of the lack of support because people are silent about it. Nobody, it's almost like it's a taboo. You don't talk about it. It's a secret. You keep secrets. And those secrets are destroying people every day. And I talk about cancer, breast cancer and everything, being that, you know, the older you get, the more your chances are receiving it. But when you say one in every four women will be affected, experience domestic violence in their lifetime, that's a higher rate than cancer.
Wow.
But it's a secret. That's a higher rate. And cancer is one in seven in breast cancer. But domestic violence, one in four? But we won't talk about it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to act like it exists. When you think
Absolutely.
About those numbers in comparison, that's wow.
Absolutely. And, you know, domestic violence stems over into sexual abuse. There are more women, it says, one in six women and one in 33 men have experienced or have been raped. And nearly 7.8 million women have reported that they were raped by somebody that they knew. They weren't a stranger. It was someone that they knew. And it goes on a lot in the colleges. It goes on a lot in the high schools. We have high schoolers that are going to school every day and afraid to take gym. They skip gym class because they're afraid of not the boys coming in and raping them, but same-sex relationships being forced on them. This is the atmosphere. This is the hour that we're working in. And Shirley, you know, I believe it all got to generating and going through the classrooms when they took prayer out of the schools. The parents were already busy working two jobs, trying to keep up with the Joneses, not paying attention to the children. Saturday, Sunday morning come around, they don't want to go to church because they're too tired. They want to wash their cars that God graciously blessed them with, because the Word of God said He gives us the power to obtain wealth. So we are so caught up in the material things that we don't think about the spiritual things, when the Word of God clearly says in 2 Colossians Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Mm-hmm. We're proud. We're a haughty people. We don't want to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that He can heal our lands, because right now we are being infestated with rape, murders, lies, adultery, fornication, same-sex relationships. Never before in history do we see lesbians and homosexuals getting married, and in the church it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't stand up as a people and say no more, we will be overpowered and overrun, and domestic violence, you won't even have to talk about it. It will be manifested in every house. When you hear, just like on the news today, I turned on the news and I heard of this guy. He was upset with his wife, and she said she was going to leave him, and he got mad and decided he was going to drive them all into the lake and drown. Well, everybody got out but him and one of the children in critical condition. Never before have we seen such an influx of no regard for humanity, no regard for life. But we have
none.
To pray. We must get back to the first foundation, which is prayer, and prayer, and seek Him with a pure heart, with sincerity, and knowing that He's able to deliver. Like I said, that book that I read when I first came out of my marriage was If He Doesn't Deliver by Marilyn Joyce. That was liberating to me, because somebody that was a pastor's wife spoke out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not alone. And that's what the enemy does. It isolates you to think you're the only one that's getting physically hit. You're the only one being molested, sexual abuse. You're the only one that's being mentally abused. Domestic violence has several forms. It takes on several. It has several layers of dominancy over other individuals, and that's what domestic violence is. Anytime anyone has power over your will, your thoughts, it is abuse.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then, you know, there's different signs that someone can look for in a person that is dealing with domestic violence. A lot of times we overlook them, the subtle signs, and it talks, you know, there's just so much. I mean, there's various, like you and I just talked about, excuses for falls and accidents. And, you know, when you look at someone, their clothes don't match the season. It's summertime, but they got a long sleeve, and they're wearing heavy makeup and accessories, and are not, that seems unusual. And when, especially when you know they don't wear all of this stuff, and they reference their partner as far as, oh, he just got a bad mood going, or he has a temper, you know, and then they start missing appointments. Some women even quit their work. They quit their job,
right.
Just quit. I mean, with no reason. And, you know, there's just different subtle things that we need to start looking at. And then the thing about it is that most women that are dealing with domestic abuse, they won't tell you. They have to feel that they're safe in order to tell you that. But because of the fear that they have, and because of that number one thing, financially,
mm-hmm.
how am I going to survive without this person? I have no money. Where am I going to go? And when there's children involved, they're even more apt to stay in an abusive relationship because of finances. They don't see a way out, but there is a way out. They keep it a secret, and they suffer in silence, hiding their physical and emotional pain from the public. But you can't hide forever. It's going to come out. And Val, we were talking about stats
well,
and everything.
Sometimes, unfortunately, Shirley, sometimes people do hide it, and it is forever. It is eternity, because a lot of times you don't find out about it until it's done. It's over.
Yeah, it leads to death. And one of the things I was reading today, there was it was talking about in Houston, Texas, and I'm going to give you this story about what's happened. They did a study in Houston. 142 women were killed in Texas in 2010. 39 more deaths than was in 2009. And they had one county. 35 women were killed in one county from domestic violence. And I was like, wow. And of the 142 women, six of them were under the age of 20.
Wow.
Five were pregnant. Yeah. Five women were pregnant. And 53 women were killed with children. And 39 of them, those children witnessed their death.
And unfortunately, a lot of those children that witnessed the abuse will be a product of their environment.
Yes.
Even though it was traumatic and painful for them, they will be a product of their environment if they do not get proper help.
Yes.
I'm going to open up the line kind of early because I see hands are up. So I'm going to open up the line so that if anyone's on there that needs some information or want to give some information that could be helpful to individuals, we want to make sure we do that because we've already gone a half an hour. So we want to make sure that we get people because this is a very, very sensitive and crucial topic that, you know, we must not take lightly in this dispensation that we're living in. I'm going to key in caller with the last 6090. Caller, you there?
Yes, can you hear me? Yes.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, I have a comment. Either one of you guys can respond. I have a friend who was in a very abusive domestic violence situation. And when she went to someone for help, this person accused her. In other words, what did you do to make him do this to you? And never, when the person was crying out for help, never got the help that they needed, but was made to feel that they were the ones that did something wrong to make this person do what they did. And so I'm just going to be quiet so either one of you guys can comment on that. I mean, that was just something I was thinking about, probably the reason why a lot of women don't come forth because nobody will believe them.
That is absolutely correct. Thank you so much for asking that question and also sharing that because it is very real. That individuals do go through that because I know me personally, my father-in-law, when I went to him about it, he said, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. Y'all work it out. And he was a pastor of a mega church in New York, and that was his response to me. You work it out. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. So he made me think and feel like I was nothing. Just like his son made me feel. And I, you know, internalized it and did think it was my fault. As a matter of fact, for years after that first hit 30 days into the marriage, that's when fear entered in. And I spent the rest of my years married to him trying to fix what I thought I had broken.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was wrong. I was in error. So therefore, I was constantly paying recompense for something that I had nothing to do with. A lot of times those abusers are abusers because they have insecurities of their own, or they have been abused, or they've witnessed a traumatic experience. But most of the times it's because they're cowards, and they see that they have power, and that you, when they see that you're afraid of them, it gives them more leverage, and they abuse that authority because they can. So thank you so much for that caller. Any
that other... I like to add to that. My take on that, when you go to someone and if their response to you is, what did you do to make them act like that? I find that 9 out of 10 times that person, A, has been in an abusive situation themselves, or they're an abuser. For them to turn a cold shoulder or point a finger to accuse the other, they have experienced it themselves, or they have been in that environment and have become to the point that they're accepting of that behavior. So they will question the person that's being abused. What did you do to cause them to be like that? What did you say to them to make him act like that? It has nothing to do with what you said or how you said it. If a person is an abuser, it's a learned behavior. And if another person accepts that you go to for help, they're probably one that either, like I said, been abused, or has accepted that type of behavior. I would say, as far as seeking help, if you can't, a lot of times when you go to family, and especially the family of the abuser, they're going to be more apt to protect the abuser, to not let the abuser know that they're looking at them in a bad eye or the bad way, because they're all from the same shell. So you need to seek help outside of your family. It's very difficult to get help inside the family circle.
Well, one of the things you said that was key is tell somebody. And you keep telling someone until you get help. Just don't tell one person. Keep talking about it until you get the courage and say, okay, I'm going to do something about it. If you, this young lady, she has a survivor story on my website. Her name is Jenny Carter. And this young woman, I tell you, she is I can't say a lot about her as far as, but I mean, the courage that she has. She was married to a very influential man, and he had a lot of power in the community. And her husband, they were going through a divorce, and this particular weekend was just before Christmas. He had rights to have the children for the weekend. And he had picked the kids up. He had a boy and a girl. He had picked the children up for the weekend and told, you know, the kids said goodbye. And he boarded up all the windows, locked the doors, put the car in the garage. And what happened, long story short, he set the house on fire. But before he set the house on fire, he wound up shooting the son and the daughter, killing them. And then he killed himself, and the fire was going. He shot himself in the midst of it, so killed all three of them. And his the notes and things that he left was, I want her to have nothing. He canceled all the life insurance policies, so that, you know, there wasn't even money to bury anybody, because he had made sure the monies were canceled, and he wanted, his reasoning for burning up the house is because he didn't want her to have the house. So he, his thing was, take everything, you will have nothing because you leave me. You want to leave me. And he was an abuser. And she kept telling people, and they wouldn't believe her because he was so influential, so well-mannered. And that's how my husband was. He was a pastor. Everybody loved him. He was so charismatic. And, you know, they would never believe that he would be capable of doing the things that he did. But he did it. He did it. And then if you ask him about it today or bring up anything, he'll deny it all. He doesn't remember any of it. But a lot of the story is in my book, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt, because some of the things even that he did to the kids, and he was, they was like, I didn't do that. The kids, oh, yes, you did, Dad. You did do it. See, he forgot that we're witnesses. We know it happened. And a lot of times the abuser is operating in another spirit, and the spirit of denial. And they won't accept responsibility. That's why a lot of times when you're being abused and then he hits you, it's like, I'm sorry, or look what you made me do. No, I didn't make you do anything. You did it because you have a temper and you need help. You are not the reason a person is imperfected because of his actions. They need to take ownership of who they are and what they do. And tell somebody, tell somebody, tell somebody. If you go to my website, www.fromthesoulofwoman.com, and look up important news and information, you will see exit strategies, ways that things that you need to do to prepare yourself to exit. When I left my marriage, it was over about 15, 16 years ago, I didn't know what I was going to do. That night, that final night, he reached out to hit me, and my kids became my protection. I knew then that I had to do something, because if they were able to use them, their bodies as human shields, then certainly I needed to make a transition and do something about it before their lives became endangered, and he would have done something totally that was out of the box. A lot of times we don't know what an individual is capable of doing. We don't know until it's too late. A friend of mine I was talking to last week, and I shared it on the show last week, his cousin's husband shot their son, 24 years old. He shot him because he came at him aggressively, and he shot him, killed him. There is no repentance in the grave. There is no repentance in the grave. So we have got to be conscious. We have got to keep our eyes open. We have got to be our brother's keepers, because a lot of times those that are affected by domestic abuse, they are too weak to talk about it. They are too fragile, too broken, too wounded to open their mouths and say, I'm hurting, I'm broken, I'm being abused, I've been raped, I'm being mentally abused. And a lot of times, as I said, they don't even know that it's happening. They have not a clue, because you're living, you're existing and not really living. Every day I got up as a zombie, putting on my clothes, brushing my teeth, washing my face, combing my hair. But I was not there. For 17 years, I was existing. And that's what people do on a day-to-day basis. You allow the abuser to snatch your dreams. When he snatches your life, they snatch your dreams and they snatch your hope. But I'm here to tell you that you can mount up with wings of an eagle. And you can get out of that situation, and the possibilities are endless. The abuser often makes you think that there is no life after them. So that's why they try to take your life in the process, because they don't want you to live better than they live without them. So that's what it's all about, stopping you from becoming. And nobody has the right to do that. No one has the right to take dominance over who you are. and who God says that you are and who you are to become, because your life is affected more than just your life. You are connected to other people on the planet, people that you don't have a direct contact for, your dreams, your visions, those things that God has planted in your spirit, in your mind. Those things will impact someone else's life. And see, the enemy, that boogeyman inside wants to stop you and block you from walking into your true greatness, because we're all born great. We all have the power to succeed. We all have the power to walk upright and become, because it was given to us from birth. But we allow individuals to dominate and take away our strength, our joy, and our peace. Shirley, what was your exit strategy?
Mine was when my children, I mean, in my first marriage, my son was only, he was turning 4, and he was like, I don't want to live here anymore. When my child said that to me, I don't want to live here anymore. Mommy, you stay. I can't stay. I want to live, you know. He just wanted to leave. And I knew that I had to get out of there. And I wanted my marriage. I wanted it bad. And I even told my husband, I said, we need help. Because I started fighting back. And I said, I'm not going to live like this. I mean, we're fighting like crazy. And it was like I was fighting for my life. When I say start fighting back, I start fighting back physically. Because every time I turned around, I was refusing to get punched again by blindsided and everything. So I was always had my guard up. But I got my exit out of here. I filed for divorce. And I made that big mistake of, oh, I will stay here until it's final. It doesn't work. The man pulled a gun on me, a shotgun. Pulled a trigger, but it didn't go off.
Wow.
He said, if I can't have you, no one will. So the gun cocked and he pulled the trigger, nothing, it didn't go off. Two brothers, my brother and a cousin, walked to the door just as he went to, you know, break it down and try to shoot again, and knocked it in the ceiling of the house, it went off. Nathan, you're out of here. So my exit was done, you know, one of those exits like you don't have time to think anymore. You can't compromise anymore. You just got to run for your life. And that's how I got out of mine. And then I ended up divorcing him. But it's just that this, you know, it was then, even after I filed for the divorce, I got stuck. And then that's another thing I see. People get stuck. The stalking comes in. And they say 1 in 12 women and 1 in 45 men have been stalked in their lifetime because of domestic violence. Some people don't look at that as domestic violence, but it is. 81% of the women stalked by a current or former intimate person, someone they have a relationship with. 31% of them are because of sexual assault by their partners. And then we talk about the economy and everything. People are quiet about domestic violence, but they don't realize how much it affects them, not only emotionally, mentally, but financially.
Absolutely.
Do you know that domestic violence has exceeded $5.8 billion a year?
And that's for medical expenses because of abuse.
Yes. For medical and mental expenses. We're not talking millions. We're talking billions. $5.8 billion. That is crazy. And when you break that all down, what is it equivalent to? 32,000 full-time jobs, almost 5.6 million days of household productivity as a result of domestic violence. And then they talk about there's 16,800 homicides. Someone dying from it. due to domestic violence. And those homicides and everything and the treatments and everything cost $37 billion. Can you imagine what could be done with that type of money?
Absolutely.
That society is keeping quiet about it. This is Domestic Violence Month. And you don't see or hear a lot going on about it. The awareness is not put out there.
And the main thing is the fear. The main thing is the fear. Why? Why they don't want to talk about it is because it is happening in so many homes. And, you know, some of the same ones that said, child, I wouldn't put up with that, or that couldn't be me. It is them.
It is them. It is them. And that could be another factor of the quietness, because they sit back and they talk about it couldn't be me, it wouldn't be me, and it is them. So they're not going to talk about I'm dealing with it too.
Right, when you're caught up in the midst of it and it catches you unaware because it rolled up on me. I'm a little person, but I was a hellraiser coming up. I used to fight for all my brothers and sisters. There's like 15 of us, and I was the oldest girl, and I used to throw down. And then I got married and wimped out. You know, so we do a lot of things in the name of love, in the name of, you know, honor and respect, but we got to make sure we put our emotions and our dedications to individuals where they are appropriate. And
yeah.
We got to have proper teaching. See, the church said, stay in it. Oh, that's your husband. It'll work out. You two are trying to become one. It's going to smooth out after a while. You can't, you know, you stay in it. See, that was the information that the church gave me, that I was in it when I did talk about it. So I didn't talk about it anymore to the leadership because it was like, just pray about it. Well, you can't pray, you can't jump, you can't shout over stuff like this that's happening every single day and something that could have ultimately taken my life. There are lines, 24-hour help lines for individuals that are listening in, or you know someone that's going through a situation, as I said. We listed some of the things, someone that's in constant fear and someone that's depressed. Individuals being depressed is not a hard thing to identify anymore. It was a point in time where you couldn't even tell somebody was depressed. Only time you would hear about it is after they had committed suicide. But it's more visible now. The isolation, the low self-esteem and the timidness and the unable to focus and the secretiveness and you know, when you say something to them, they jump for simple things. You're talking to them calmly and they jump. These are all signs that something is going on. And there's an 800 domestic abuse hotline, and I'm giving you men and women the opportunity to grab a pen and write these numbers down. And if you miss the numbers that I'm about to give out to you, you can find them on my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, where it says resource hotlines. And the line for the number for domestic abuse is 800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-7233. And also, someone that you feel is depressed and have suicidal tendencies, where they're always talking about, I just don't want to live no more, I just want to end it all, I just want to die. You know, these are people that are crying out for help. And if you don't know what to do for them, get on the internet, read some information, find a leadership or a counselor or a life coach or someone to talk to. There are a lot of resources where you can reach out and say, what do I do about this individual? Don't just let them go on and be, and you sit up there saying, well, I'll just pray for them, and you stay silent. Sometimes they need a listening ear. Sometimes they need someone to talk to, but you've got to show yourself friendly. You have got to sit unjudgmental. When they telling you something, don't be like, oh, I wouldn't take that. Oh, what, it couldn't be me. No, you sit there and you listen and let them talk. And then with the information you have, you know, reach out to someone who's qualified to instruct you on what to do or that can help that individual. Don't go about gossiping and talking about it. Do something. Be your brother's keeper. And the suicide hotline is 1-800-784-2433. That's 1-800-784-2433. And although we have limited resources as far as safe places, they do exist and they are out there. And if you call these 800 numbers that I gave you, they have national safe places and people that have opened up their homes specifically for this need, because they know that individuals, when it deals with domestic violence, they have to get out quick. Sometimes you have to leave everything behind and just leave. Sometimes you just have to do that. When I left, and just me, the kids, and I took some clothes, and I had to rebuild, and I had four kids, two boys, two girls, between the ages of 8 and 14. And I had no money because he closed the accounts, took my name off, because that was his way of paralyzing me and crippling me, saying, okay, how are you going to make it now? He had no regards for how his children were going to make it. He stripped me of my finances. And then the only thing I had was my car. And you know what? I wind up staying in the garage, and I got the mattress off of my bed. I took that, and I took the sheets, and me and my four kids slept on that mattress for 3 months. And I found a job and rebuilt my life and established myself. So it is possible to begin again. Regardless of what that individual constantly tells you, you can make it. You can make it, because the greater one lies within you. He's always been there. You have to channel into that power and believe that there's a power higher than your own. If you don't believe in God, then there's no who you're going to cry out to, because all the tangible people around you are not there to intercede. So you have to believe in a power higher than your own, and that would be God, because in the midst of the storm, that's who you need. Remember, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "Is my people which are called by my name." That means those that believe in who he is will humble themselves. That means you have to break down, die to who you are. Do you know, Shirley, that individuals, even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of tragedy, there are people that still have a lot of pride?
Yes, they do. And that's why you hear that saying about pride would be the death of you, because they won't release it. They alienate themselves, and they block God out of their life by doing that. You have got to stay connected with him, because even if you're in a domestic situation and you need help, pray for strength. God will give you the strength to go and seek help. Don't stop asking. You are not asking because you're weak. You're asking because you want to remain strong. Somebody will listen, but you cannot give up. And Val, you gave numbers out. There's one that is dear to my heart, and that is a lot of teenagers are going through dating domestic abuse. And there's a hotline for that as well.
Oh, yeah.
So if you know, you have a teen that's dating and they're dealing with domestic abuse and everything, there's a number they can call. It is 1-866-331-9474. And that number again is 1-866-331-9474. Because we got to look out for our young people too.
Absolutely. Yes, because we have more teenagers being abused by their boyfriends and girlfriends, 11, 12 years old, and they got boys beating them up, saying, you my woman, you listen to what I have to say. You do what I say do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the parental guardianship has been removed. The headship of the home has been removed. So those young girls that are without their fathers are now leaning towards those little boys out in the street for authority, and they can take that control for love because they have not been taught. Plus, they're a product of their environment. They see mama getting beat up, and they see mama's boyfriend beating and pushing them around, so they think that is a natural attribute of a relationship. So we have got to get busy. Remember, our lives are not about just us. Our lives about who we have to connect. Who are we channeling? What are we channeling down to the next generation? What are we doing for the generations after us? If everybody goes in their house and shuts the door and don't want to open it when they hear somebody crying out for help, then there will be no one left. We must act. We must do something. Evil prevails when good men and women do nothing.
Yes.
What is our contribution to mankind? What is our next step? Once you listen to this call, and those of you that are listening, email a friend, call a friend, and have them listen. Have them play it over and over. Even if you need it, play it over and over until you be empowered with the courage to move on, because you can. You can do it. You can win. You can and you will survive. But you have to take the first step and do something. Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're more powerful beyond measure. We have to take our courage back. We have to take our power back. But most of all, we got to believe in God, the Almighty, Abba, Father, and know that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think, because of the power that works in us. He's given us the power to do it. So know that you can do it. Any closing remarks, Shirley?
I just want to say to all our listeners, thank you for joining us tonight. And we're going to lift up all the ones that are out there dealing with domestic violence in prayer tonight, and that, you know, they will seek the help that they need, and that that spirit of fear is removed from them, and that their abuser is brought down to their knees and understand that God did not make their mate to be their punching bag. I just want to thank everyone for joining us, and please, help someone that they may be able to help someone else. Thank you.
And I leave you with my quote that I wrote when I began writing From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. And it says that love affects our past, our present, our future. Love is an emotion, a gift given to us from God, and it ever hurt. Good night. Be blessed until next Tuesday.
Good night.
Good night.